The following paid program does not represent the views of North Shore 104.9. Welcome to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial. This morning during the program, your host, Mark Friedman, may discuss specific financial planning and investment ideas. These discussions are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations. Financial planning and investment advice is offered through Friedman Financial, an SEC-registered investment advisor located in Peabody, Massachusetts. Securities are offered through LPL Financial, a member of FINRA and SIPC. Friedman Financial is a separate entity from LPL Financial. Investing involves risk, including loss of principal. Always consult a certified financial planner professional, qualified attorney, or tax advisor prior to investing to determine what is appropriate for you. And now, here's the host of Dollars and Cents, Mark Friedman of Friedman Financial.
Good morning and welcome to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman. I'm president and CEO of Friedman Financial, located in Peabody, Massachusetts, 41 Cross Street, just above Alto Forno Restaurante. We've been there in our new space. So it's approaching 1 year now, actually, that we've been there. But we have been in Peabody for close to 50 years. Yeah, Dad started this firm in 1968 in the basement of my house. Yep, you got that right. The started in the basement. Then we put an addition on the house. Then we moved to a few places. But yeah, 50 years. We've been providing financial planning and investment management advice to individuals and families who live on the North Shore in the Merrimack Valley since 1968. Dad's no longer in the business. He's still around, of course, living down in Florida. Many of our clients who have become snowbirds have headed down to Florida, and they still run into him on the golf course, and they see him around. But I took over the firm almost 11 years ago now, 2007. I took over the business. I joined the firm in 1991. So doing this almost 28 years now, my business partner, Marion Gilman, who you've heard here on the show many times. Marion is celebrating her 18th anniversary with us this year. And so we've done really, really well for our clients, for a lot of people here in the community. What always amazes me is how different our firm continues to remain compared to other financial advisors, advisor consultants, all of these different positions that are out there. You hear about brokers, you hear about insurance salesmen. We've really remained consistent to our values, and our values have remained the same since Dad started this firm. And it always amazes me how other businesses start to evolve, and we've kind of remained consistent. And it kind of falls in line with the whole plain vanilla New England conservative approach, where, you know, we do kind of get set in our ways a little bit. Yeah, you got to tweak things a little bit, but we still want to live a life that allows us to continue to do what we want to do. We're not about here trying to become the next billionaire. We're not trying to make our clients become the next billionaire or even multi-millionaire. We want you to be able to build a lifestyle that aligns with your goals and objectives, what you want, not with the not the magic or the surprise that happens when you buy a scratch ticket at your local convenience store. We've seen some of those people, and I will tell you, each person that we've met who has received those riches from a scratch ticket have never been able to sustain those riches, and that's frankly not, don't go that approach. Do it right. Be rational. Find the strategy that works. Don't worry about it and just let it work for you. And that's kind of what we've helped our clients do over the years. Our focus has always been on financial planning first. What that really means is being able to understand where everything is and what everything is worth in your financial life. It's not just about your 401k plan or the money that you have in the bank or the trust account that someone set up or the joint investment account you have or whatever it might be. It's the compilation of it all and understanding how it all works into everything else. And it's rather interesting, too, because I meet with clients all the time, of course. We have 450 households that we serve here in the community, in the North Shore, in the Merrimack Valley. Many of them are third, fourth, and in one case is a fifth generation. Well, we haven't met the infant, but there is an account set up for the infant of great-great-grandma. And it's really amazing how that does all work, but there are always those that come knocking on our door, and we get calls and knocks on our door on a weekly basis. A lot of it, frankly, is because of this radio show, because you enjoy listening to financial advice in a language you can understand. We provide that here each and every Sunday morning from 8 to 9 a.m. Once again, my name is Mark Friedman. I'm president and CEO of Friedman Financial, located in Peabody, Massachusetts. If now's time for you to get serious about your financial planning, if you'd like to schedule some time and meet with us, give our office a call, 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. Or visit our website, friedmanfinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com. You can go to the bottom of any page on my website. You can sign up for our free newsletter. It comes out each and every Friday at 10:30 in the morning. We've been doing this since March of 2009. Yeah, you can do the math. That's almost 10 years. It's a long, long time we've been doing it. Have never missed a Friday at 10:30. So sign up. In fact, last week we had my son Jerry, who, if you listened to the show last week, you heard Jerry here on the radio. Jerry's my third son. My third child. He's third in the five children that I have. He's heading off to Rome. Actually, he heads off to Rome tomorrow. He's off there. That's right. And Jerry's going to be gone for 3.5 months, heading off in his freshman year through University of Miami. He'll be studying at the American University of Rome and then back to Miami in the spring. So, yeah, I asked Jerry to write a blog post that was in our newsletter last Friday. And we're always welcoming. You know, hey, if you'd like, let me offer this out to you, too. If there's something that you'd like to write about when it comes to financial advice, maybe you've got a story, something you want to share, some particular topic that you think you'd like to offer up and include in our newsletter, I'd welcome the opportunity for you to be a guest blogger on my newsletter. I'll let you write an article. You're welcome to do that. If you want to come in and talk about a particular item, maybe you want to talk about what life is like in retirement, what you've learned from retirement. Maybe you've got some advice that you offer up to your kids or your colleagues or your neighbors or whatever that says, you know, now that I'm retired, here's three things or five things that I've learned that I was not aware of when I retired. I'd love to include you in writing a blog for us. If you'd like to do that, once again, give my office a call, 978-531-8108, or drop me a personal email. That's probably even better. Mark, M-A-R-C. At FriedmanFinancial.com. That's right. Mark is with a C. Mark, M-A-R-C, at FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, Financial.com. Throughout the course of our show today, I really want to talk to you about what it means to do financial planning, because to me, it's second nature now. That's how we do everything with our clients. But there's more and more of this, the word financial planning, the word fiduciary, the word placing the interest of the client first, that is appearing in your mail, on your television, in your radio shows, in blog posts you get, in solicitations that come. And I always worry that many of these posts and these information drops that you get are simply marketing gimmicks. That's really what they are. I mean, I'm a certified financial planner. I've been doing financial planning for 28 years. And there was an article that was written years ago. It was called To Be a CFP. And it talked about, it asked the question, are you a CFP or do you have a CFP? And it was a question that was put out to people that maintained a designation with a CFP. And as you began to read through this article, you began to realize that there are very few people who have a CFP that actually are CFPs. CFP stands for Certified Financial Planner. It is the gold standard in this industry. If you need advice, if you're looking for somebody with the credentials, the experience, the education, the examination, the ethics that go along with being able to provide you with ongoing, not just one time, ongoing financial and investment advice, you need to work with a CFP, a Certified Financial Planner. They've been tested. They've been time tested over time and use those skills on a regular basis. I'd really encourage you to look for that. Ask yourself also this question. More and more advisors are moving towards what's called this fee-based model. They say, well, we're not going to work in a commission environment anymore. We're going to charge you a fee to manage your money. I want you to ask yourself this. If you're in an environment where you are paying a fee, and you can calculate that fee, and sometimes people are rather surprised to see how large that fee might be. But if you're paying a fee, it's okay if you're getting value for it, that's another thing. But ask yourself, what am I getting for the fee that I pay? So two important questions to ask of yourself. If you're working with a financial advisor, perhaps you have a representative at a bank, perhaps you have an insurance agent, whatever it might be, I want you to ask yourself this question. How does this person that I work with get paid? And if you don't know the answer to that question, never be embarrassed to pick up the phone and ask him or her, how do you get paid? And what you should also ask them is, how did you get paid? Because many people will say, well, I don't get paid anything right now. I just service your account. And that may be true in some cases. They got paid a commission up front, and now they're not getting paid any longer. Some get paid a commission up front and continue to get an ongoing servicing fee that gets paid by the investment company. Others charge you an ongoing fee. Doesn't matter. There's all different ways to get compensated. But what you need to do as the consumer, if you're going to hire a professional, don't you want to know how they get paid? I always find it interesting that, you know, when we go to a car dealership and you buy a car and you settle on a price, and the salesperson makes it sound like no one made any money on the deal and you just got the sweetest deal ever. Well, someone has to pay for the lights. Someone has to pay for the inventory. Someone has to pay for the staff. Someone has to pay for everything that goes on, along with the advertising and the promotion and the insurance and all of the stuff that goes on with running a business. So there was a profit that was made that day. But why is it that it's so difficult to get an answer from a car salesman as to what the gross profit was on that sale? Look, when you buy a house, it's rather clear what that is, isn't it? I mean, you fill that statement out when you go to your closing, and it shows to you, here's how much the attorney got paid. Here's how much the sales agent got paid. And here's a funny story, and I digress a little bit. You guys all well know, if you've been listening to the show, you know that I sold my house recently. And at the closing, I wasn't at the closing. I happened to be away that day, and my real estate agent happened to be on the phone after the closing was over, and she went through the form with me again just so I could go through all the costs and everything that was involved. And she says, and my professional fee was X. I said, come on. Your professional fee. Why do you have such a hard time calling that a commission? Well, but it's my professional fee. Really? Why is it that people that make... We're all in the business of making money, right? Whether you make money through sales, whether you go to work and have an hourly wage, whether you're a service professional that works in the restaurant business, we're all doing stuff to make money. Why do we have to hide what we make? And some of us say, well, because it's none of their business. No, well, it may be none of their business if you looked at it perhaps in the aggregate for the year. But at the end of the day, if you're in a service interface, I don't care about the hourly stuff so much as if you're actually transacting with somebody and you know that there's a profit margin made on that. Why is it so shameful to share that information? We just don't do it in our culture, do we? But I do think in the world of personal finance, when you're putting up serious dollars, it's not like you're buying a $50 item or even a $200 item or a $1,000 item for that matter. But when you're handing over $100,000 to somebody or $200,000 to somebody or $2 million over to somebody and they say, well, if you invest in this product, there will be a penalty if you take money out in the first 5 or 6 years. You have to ask yourself, well, why? But most people go, oh, it's not going to cost me any money if I leave it here for 6 or 7 years. That's the thinking. That's wrong. If there is a cost to cancel your commitment, to your investment, there has been a large commission that has been paid to somebody. Because think about this. Here's the God's honest truth. If you were to buy an investment and there is, let's say, a surrender charge, and let's say that first year surrender charge, well, you're going to have to pay 5% to get out. You know why you have to pay 5% to get out? That's because the person that sold you the investment had a 5% commission that was paid to that person. And the person that sold it to you doesn't have to pay it back. But the insurance company or the investment company or whatever it is that had the product sold, they want to make their money back. So they're going to take it from you and not pull it back from the agent. Or the representative. You need to understand what things cost. And even if you're paying someone a fee, let's say you're paying a 1% fee to an investment advisor, to a financial advisor, still nothing wrong with paying a fee. Paying is not a problem. I don't have any problem with you compensating a professional. But is it being shared with you? Do you know what it is? Is it being transparent? One of the things that you will always get from my office, you know this, all of my clients know this, is we are fully transparent. At the end of the year, you will be given a summary to say, here's what it cost you to do business with us this year. Are you getting that from the financial professionals that you work with? If you aren't, demand it. Demand it. And if they say they can't provide it to you, then move somewhere else because they're clearly hiding something from you, or the person with whom they work for is not willing to share all of the proper information. You deserve to know what you're paying. We're living in a world that is far more transparent, far more accepting, far more open for people to be able to make smart decisions. And when it comes to your money, man, you got to know what you're spending. All right, that's going to kick us off for the morning. We got lots of things to talk about. We're going to take a quick break. When we're back, I want to talk a little bit about what happens during a review meeting. A lot of people ask us, you know, sure, I'll set up a relationship with a financial advisor, but when I see them in year 2, year 3, year 16, what should be happening in that review meeting? And I'll tell you our process, and you can see how it works with your financial professional. We'll be right back. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
Hi, this is Mark Friedman, president of Friedman Financial and host of Dollars and Cents, heard here every Sunday morning from 8 to 9 a.m. Each week, I try to provide listeners with financial advice in a language you can understand. And much of my advice comes from real-life situations that happens in my office, Friedman Financial, each and every day. You see, at Friedman Financial, we help individuals and families create smart strategies for spending money in retirement. Our approach is committed to placing your interests first. And best of all, Friedman Financial is independent, and we're a fee-based financial planning and investment management firm. We're absolutely committed to helping you get your financial house in order. When you're ready to get serious about your financial planning needs, give us a call at 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. Or on the web at friedmanfinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com.
Securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advice offered through Friedman Financial, a registered investment advisor and separate entity from LPL Financial.
If I had $1 million.
Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman. I'm president and CEO of Friedman Financial, located in Peabody, Massachusetts, where we've been providing financial planning and investment management advice to individuals and families who live on the North Shore, the Merrimack Valley, and even the Southern New Hampshire area. It's amazing to me that since 1968, when Dad started the firm, still the clients that we have, and we keep a lot of our clients have been with us, it's 40 years in some cases, 40 plus years. 85% of our clients either live here on the North Shore of the Merrimack Valley or have roots that began here in the North Shore in Merrimack Valley. I always find it interesting that there's several clients who have now left the New England area, have decided to venture off to Florida. They live in Florida. They live in the Carolinas. Some have gone to Georgia. Some have gone to other places. And they always wonder, can we continue to maintain a relationship with them? Absolutely. And that's because we run an independent practice. We're able to go out and see our clients, and periodically, especially in the Florida area where we have several clients, Marion and I, my business partner, Marion and I will pick different times during the winter, great excuse to go down to Florida, and visit with our clients. Marion will do an East Coast visit. I'll do a West Coast visit. We'll take turns doing the Central Florida visit. That's like the Orlando area and, of course, the Villages, where many of our clients are now residing. That's an interesting place. If you haven't been to the Villages, it's like college for seniors. It's like a gigantic fraternity house for 200,000 people. It's an interesting place, and many people extraordinarily happy there. I'll tell you, one of the things that I find fascinating when I go to visit people that are at the Villages, these are great clients that have just decided to settle down to warmer climates. They go down there and they tell me, Mark, The most amazing thing about living in the villages is it costs me far less to live in the villages than it does here in Massachusetts, and it has nothing to do with the Massachusetts sales tax. That's why a lot of people end up moving in many cases. They say, well, I'm leaving Massachusetts because I want to get a 5% or 6% raise simply by going to Florida where there is no sales tax. Well, I get that. Totally get that. But what's interesting in the villages, imagine if you were in a community surrounded by your peers. People all your age are within a plus or minus 10 years from where you are. Everybody gets around the same way on a pimped out golf cart. That's right. You should see these golf carts with all the bling that attaches to all of these golf carts. They are living large on their golf carts. Now, there's plenty of things that go on in the villages. It's a city within itself. But more often than not, the idea of potluck dinners is huge. People bring different dishes, or they go from house to house to house, drink lots of wine, and then let nature take its course, I think, after that. And that's what the villages is soon has actually become known for. But the cost for dinners is very small. You're making dinners at home and you're sharing them with others. The cost of living at the villages is far less. I'm not necessarily promoting that you have to go to the villages. I'm just telling you that that is a place that a lot of people explore. And it's not far from Orlando, about an hour's drive north of Orlando to get there. But when we visit like the West Coast, I find the dynamics of the West Coast versus the East Coast very, very different. I find that when I go down to the West Coast, which is, let's call the West Coast, Fort Myers, Naples, Bonita Springs, that area. I'm not including Tampa there because I still consider Tampa kind of part of that central Florida area. It's still about an hour and a half, 2 hour drive west of Orlando, so you could still do that. But if you were heading down to the West Coast of Florida, you will find what I believe is a younger, more active retiree network down there. You won't find the Miami Beach lifestyle that you might find on the East Coast, where you're finding a lot of the these nightclubs and hot places to go to and super expensive restaurants. But on the East Coast, though, you either are in your 80s and enjoying your life in Boca Raton and Delray Beach and doing your thing there, where it's a little bit slower, a lot of malls, a lot of flea markets, a lot of delis, a lot of tennis, not much in the way of golf, but there's a lot of tennis that's over there. Golf is more on the West Coast. But you either have the very old or you have the yuppie type that's down in the Miami Beach. I always find it fascinating when I when I fly down to visit clients in Fort Lauderdale or West Palm Beach, the funniest thing is getting off the airplane at West Palm or Fort Lauderdale. As you hit the jetway, you see a lineup of wheelchairs that continue down through the jetway and oftentimes into the waiting area because everybody needs a lift. And I just find it fascinating. You will find on the East Coast also a much more older clientele working still. They'll be your bellhops. They'll be your valets. They'll be working anywhere and everywhere, working the counters at the cruise terminals. You won't find much of a younger population that's working in some of those jobs. I find it fascinating to see the different types of experiences on both the East Coast and West Coast of Florida. But we learn that because we go to visit people down there. So many people will ask me, Mark, and by the way, I know I was going to talk about this review process thing for this second quarter, but I'm already here. I'll get to the review process in a minute. I digress a lot and new ideas pop into my head. But oftentimes people ask me, Mark, you know, is it worth buying a place down in Florida? As you approach retirement, you say, geez, I'd really love to have a place down in Florida. If I've just told you anything in the past 5 minutes or so here, it's you need to explore Florida if you're thinking about going down there for an extended period of time. You need to explore it. You need to explore the different regions. Do you want to be near the water? Do you want to be inland? Do you want to be north, south, or middle? Do you want to be east or west? Do you want to be where all of the tourism is going to be? Or would you like the nice, light, quiet lifestyle of just living on a lake? You can do all of that in Florida, but you have to figure out what works best for you. But if you do plan on moving to Florida and saying, you know what, I'm going to just reside here, let me ask you a couple of questions. When you think when you move down to Florida, I want you to ask yourself this. Where will I go for an ice cream? Now, you might think that's the stupidest, silliest question. But when you're sitting home alone, chances are when you go down to Florida, you may be alone at some point. A lot of people are alone down there. Where will you go for an ice cream? Number two, how will you get there? There comes a point in everyone's life where you say, you know what? I don't want to drive. Another thing is where is the closest hospital? If you need medical care, where is the closest hospital? And one more question, who will change the light bulbs? Another thing that you might think, well, that's a pretty crazy question. But if you move into Florida these days, you'll realize that ceilings are usually 9 feet tall now. It's not the old buildings. Everything's new. It's 9 feet. So are you about to climb yourself up on a ladder to change the light bulb at 80-something years old? Who are you going to call? These are important questions. You can't call your son or your daughter who might be living not far from here and say, hey, when you're around, could you pick up a few things? Could you come by and, you know, do a couple errands? There are things that I need to have done in the house. Living in Florida is an experience. Living in Florida is different from living up here. It's not just a matter of cost. It's a matter of lifestyle. When you move down to Florida, you got to realize, you know what? The summertime really stinks. Unless you plan on living in an air-conditioned room and not leaving for 3 or 4 months. And so you say, well, that's okay. I'll buy a place down in Florida. I'll stay down there during the winter months when it's winter and spring and even the fall when it's not so great here in New England. And then when it gets really, really hot in Florida, I'll move back up here. Well, that all sounds well and good. But if you own a place down in Florida, when do you think the largest amount of mold and mildew will accumulate in your house? In the wintertime. And what's one way to avoid mold and mildew from accumulating? Running the air conditioner. Could you imagine paying the cost of running the air conditioner in Florida for the months of April through September and not living there? That's a large cost. Who's going to cut the grass during those summer months? Who's going to maintain the pool that you perhaps have under your lanai in the house? Who's going to do the general maintenance? You got to add up all those costs. And as you well know, if you're down in Florida, the grass that we have up here does not look like the grass that they have down in Florida. In fact, the grass in Florida kind of looks like a crabgrass lawn. And I know there's names for it. I'm not a Florida guy, so I don't know that. But you really have to start thinking about what are the costs that are involved with living down in Florida? And if you're going to maintain two properties, what are the ongoing costs of maintaining a property when I'm not there? Not to mention the cost of transportation back and forth. Now, let's say the kids live up north, and you say, well, I love it down in Florida. And you say, oh, but I want to see the grandkids. I miss my grandkids. Well, who's paying for that? How are the kids getting down there? Are you paying for the airfare for them to come down? And when might the grandkids be available to come down? School vacation weeks? The time when it is most expensive. Don't think the airlines don't know. The airlines know exactly when school vacation week is here in Massachusetts. They know when it costs more. They know when to get you. So you really have to think through those costs. Now, my approach, my advice that I have for many people who are thinking of moving to Florida is, first of all, find a few weeks, 3 or 4 weeks, and rent somewhere. Yes, you might say, well, I don't want to pay $4,000 or $5,000 or $8,000 for the month. That is short money, folks, compared to what you will pay to buy and maintain a place. Find a place and see whether this is where you could imagine yourself settling in. Take the next 3 to 5 years and find 5 different places to stay in. Find different locations. Explore around. Maybe go down to the East Coast. Go if you want to go to the East Coast. Maybe you want to go to the Boca Del Rey area. Go down for 4 or 5 weeks and stay at a different place each week. You might say, oh, no, I'm not going to do that. That means I got to pack, I got to move. That's a pain in the neck. Well, it's more of a pain in the neck for you to make a lifelong commitment to a piece of property that you will be stuck with, that can become more and more costly with each year that you carry it. I want to try to provide you financial advice in a language you can understand. My advice is based upon experience that we've seen over 50 years with our clients. Clients that are just like you. They live here on the North Shore. They live in the Merrimack Valley. They are not super wealthy, but nor are they what you would call basic middle class either. They are what I call the mass affluent baby boomer. They have the ability to live a comfortable lifestyle, to support their expenses in retirement, but they also know that if they take it too far, they can put themselves in a lot of trouble too. They've worked hard to achieve what they want in their financial life. But they too also have to be careful, and will be careful with the advice that we'll provide each and every Sunday here. And when we're back, I'll provide you with how our review process works in the office. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
Summer, gather your best friends and get ready to laugh when Bill Haney's North Shore Music Theater presents the international sensation Mamma Mia.
You are the dancing queen, young and sweet, only 17.
Mamma Mia, the guaranteed dancing in the aisles get happy musical. Mia, featuring 20 of ABBA's greatest hits woven into one mega hit Broadway show about a daughter's dream, a mother's secret, and a trip down the aisle you will never forget.
Honey, I'm still free. Take a chance on me. Just one look.
Take a chance on Mamma Mia, live on stage at North Shore Music Theater now through September 2nd. Everyone will be having the time of their lives, and you will too. Get your tickets today at nsmt.org. Already know you are going to love it. Sponsored by Beverly Bank.
I don't have one thing on my mind. One thing on my mind. I do it for the long.
Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman. I'm president and CEO of Friedman Financial, located in Peabody, Massachusetts. We're here each and every Sunday morning in the treetop studios of North Shore 104.9 from 8 to 9 a.m. overlooking the North Beverly train station. And not much happening here this morning. But Depot Diner, they're starting to pick up. It's breakfast happening at the Depot Diner. And Starbucks looks like it's popping up. Things are going on here. Folks, we got a couple more weeks left in this in the summer. School starts. Hard to believe it's coming to an end. Hopefully, we still have a few more warm weeks left. Not yet time for the leaves to change. That'll be coming soon. And when the leaves start to change, you know what else starts coming? My favorite time of the year, the Topsfield Fair. That's right. Now, it's not like I'm a big fan of going around and going climbing the grease pole or checking out the little pigs at the Topsfield Fair, but I run a booth at the fair. It's called the B'nai B'rith booth. It's in its 57th or 58th year. We've stopped counting. I don't know. I've been doing this for almost 14 years, running the booth. But I've been working this since I was 14 years old. Come by, swing by, say hello to us. I'm sure I'll let you know when the time gets closer. But if you do come by, ask for myself or for my wife, Laura. We got a special treat for you if you're a listener to the show. But the thing that I do want to mention to you right now, because we're doing it for the first time this year in partnership with the Topsfield Fair. This year, the Topsfield Fair will host its inaugural hot dog eating contest. You've seen it happen at Nathan's. You've seen all those major food eating contests. This one at the fair will be different. You know why it's going to be different? Well, we're sponsoring it, but no, I'm going to be there. No, but the real reason is we're not eating wimpy-sized hot dogs. We're going to eat real-sized hot dogs. We're not buying those things that come in the little buns and the baby buns and this stuff that, you know, Jimmy, whatever his guy's name. Who's the guy that, Joey Chestnut. The Joey Chestnut has to eat those baby-sized, wimpy-sized hot dogs. We're giving you quarter-pound hot dogs. How many quarter-pound hot dogs can you put away in 5 minutes? If you want to participate in this, this will be something unlike anything you've ever done before. I encourage you to sign up. Go to the Topsfield Fair website. It's topsfieldfair.org. One of the little blocks, you'll see it right up there. It says hot dog eating contest. You can read about all the rules, the registration process, everything. I think you're going to have a lot of fun, and it'll be at the Topsfield Fair the first Saturday of the fair, which I believe would be September 29th. That's less than about a month away. So I hope to see you there. We are here each and every Sunday from 8 to 9 a.m. providing financial advice in a language you can understand. And one of the things I wanted to talk about today was something that's called the review process. Many people work with a financial advisor. They'll try to do stuff to try to turn their financial life or some of the financial challenges that they have over to a professional to try to give them some advice. And oftentimes that relationship is nurtured and really stoked during the first couple months. And then once that investment has been made, once the portfolio has been set up, once the plan has been put into place, it's a rarity that you're proactively touched by the advisor. And I think that's unfortunate because you've made a decision to make some long-term investment choices, long-term planning decisions. And I don't know about you, but if you look back 5 years ago, how is your life different 5 years ago from what it is today? You're still making the same amount of money. You're still having the same issues. Have you had to have any major expenses over the past 5 years that you weren't expecting? Have you gone on some trips that you weren't aware of? Have you had to buy a new car? Has someone passed away? Has someone been divorced? Has there been a graduation, a wedding? Any of those things? Of course, those things happen. We all have that happen. One of the challenges that I find with setting up a financial plan with many folks is that we set this plan, we set it and forget it. Now, I'm okay with, frankly, putting together an investment strategy, setting it, forgetting it, maybe tweaking it a little bit along the way. But a financial plan is something that you cannot set and forget. Too many things will happen in your life that need to be addressed to see whether the investment strategy must change, to see whether your spending strategy has to change, to see whether you have the right insurance, to see whether you're taking care of and protecting for your family both now and in the future. And that's why we've set up what we call our review process. We're working on a graphic that we're going to post up on our website, FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com. And it's called our review process. It's very simple. So I want you to think about what happens as I talk about what our review process is during the segment. I want you to think about what happens when you reach out to your financial advisor or when your financial advisor reaches out to you and says, hey, come on into the office. Let's do a review of everything. Now, first of all, I am a big believer that in order to do a review of your financial situation, you must do it face to face. This is not an over the internet, let's exchange emails, let's do it over the telephone. This is not one of those meetings. You can do that if you're talking about a one-off item. But when you're trying to look at the big picture, you're trying to see how everything fits into everything else, you need to do this eyeball to eyeball. You know why? How many times have you been on a conference call and not been fully engaged in that conference call? What do you mean, Mark? I'm not the only, you know that I might be like looking at my computer screen or checking my text or sending Instagram photos or Snapchat pics while I'm on a car. Yeah, I do know. We all do it. What about if you're on trying to extend emails back and forth through an exchange? Might you be distracted? Might you also in an email exchange or a phone exchange, not including both perspectives from the unit of you and your spouse or you and your partner, whomever that might be? Perhaps. That's why when we do review meetings in our office, it's the full package. You both come in. You come into the office so that we make sure that I can see if we say something or you say something that we can kind of sense, maybe we're not getting the whole story here. Or maybe there's some kind of hurt that's behind something that's about to be said. Or maybe you can see that there is a, what I call the smelly moose in the room, which is, I got that term from years and years ago. The smelly moose means there's one of those issues that it's just one of those unspoken kind of conversations, but someone better raise it because if it doesn't get raised, it could be a problem down the road. So one of the things that we do in our review process, first of all, yeah, you got to come in. But before we have you come in for the review process, we send you an updated net worth statement. Remember, because when we work with you at Friedman Financial, we're going to prepare a net worth statement that shows where everything is and what everything is worth of your financial life. Now, we may manage some money for you, but you may also have money in a 401k. You'll have money in a couple bank accounts. You might have a stock portfolio somewhere. You might own a house somewhere. You might have a vacation home. All of those different pieces of your life. You may have stock options. You may have a deferred comp plan, an IRA, whatever it is. I want to be sure that we know where everything is and that we've got the numbers right. You perhaps also might have a mortgage or an equity loan or a car loan. I want to see all of that stuff. Because if I can't see all of that up front, straight up, how can I make decisions with you to give you guidance on what the next step should be? If you only share a peek into your financial life, I can't place your interest first. And who doesn't want that? I mean, I think everybody wants to have their interest placed first, and it's impossible to do it. So ask yourself this. When you're getting ready for a review meeting with your financial advisor, your broker, your insurance, whoever you call your financial advisor, do they know where everything is and what everything is worth? And is the meeting starting with you having an opportunity to review the information that they have on your financial life and being able to make changes to bring it up to date? A very, very critical first step. So now number two, you come into the office. And maybe you'll bring in some updates to say, hey, Mark, you know, it's not $25,000 that I have at the bank. It's $27,500. Whatever it is, we can make those adjustments. And then we go back and we revisit your goals. We'll say, okay, so now we're what? Instead of being 4 years away from retirement, perhaps we're now 3 years away from retirement. Are we still on track to do that? Asking that question gives you a gut check to say, are we still really on that path? Because I can't tell you how many times someone would say to me, Mark, my plan is to retire at age 64 years old. And now we get to age 62 and they realize, I don't want to retire at 64. I may want to work till 70. Or you know what? If I could retire right now, I would. But if we don't know where we're heading, how can we put together a strategy that's appropriate for you? We have to keep revisiting the questions. Maybe you talked to us last year about the fact that you had a wedding coming up and it was going to cost you $50,000 for the wedding. Just throwing a number out there. Wedding prices are all over the place these days. So I might ask you, how was the wedding? Did it come in line with what you had expected? You had said you might want to spend $50,000. And I noticed that the $100,000 that you had in the bank is now worth $18,000. Did that all go to the wedding? Or did it go somewhere else? And you have a conversation. We need to make sure that your plan continues to live and breathe and represent who you are. So first, we're going to revisit those goals. Next thing we're going to do, I'm going to show you how much you've progressed since we last met. Now, progress can be a lot of different things. Progress can be the growth of your investment accounts that we might manage for you. We can show you what's gone up, what's gone down, where is the what's the growth rate been, all that kind of stuff. But what's more important is how much your net worth has increased. There will be years when the stock market goes down. Yep, it happens. There will be years when bonds will go down. Yep, that happens too. And there will be ways in which your cash accounts, your bank accounts will go down. Huh? I thought the interest in my bank accounts was guaranteed. It is. But the way you spend and what you take out of that account has nothing to do with the interest rate. If you had $70,000 in the bank and today it's worth $30,000, does it matter how much interest you got on your bank account? Nope, not at all. We have to show you your progress. Because if you can't see progress from the big picture, you got a problem. Because I will tell you, when you get into retirement, living in a little fragmented world just can't happen anymore. You have to take a look at everything from the biggest picture, not just from, well, my IRA increased $40,000 this year. We must be okay. Well, but what did it do with everything else? Did you spend a ton of money in the bank? Did you pull more money out of your equity in your house? Did you take out a bigger loan? Did you gift money to the kids? All of those are part of the progress. We need to show that to you. And that's only step two of our review process. See, at Friedman Financial, we care deeply about what it is that you want to do and making sure that you remain on track and have a plan that is flexible enough so that you can modify every step of the way. I want to continue to share more about our review process, but we'll do that when we get back You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
Wonder whether you'll have enough money to retire. Retiring for the Genius is a blueprint to prepare for a comfortable retirement. This easy-to-read guidebook on living your life in retirement is written by certified financial planner Mark Friedman and host of Dollars and Cents, heard here every Sunday morning from 8 o'clock until 9 a.m. You'll find the tools and templates helpful so you can prepare to make smart decisions on how to spend your money in retirement. If you're older than 55 and expect to spend between $4,000 and $10,000 a month in retirement, Retiring for the Genius is a treasure map for achieving your successful retirement. When it comes to retiring, don't be a dummy. Pick up a copy of Retiring for the Genius at Amazon.com.
Pick up your treasure map for retirement. Available now at Amazon.com. Search Mark Friedman, Retiring for the Genius.
Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman. I'm president and CEO of Friedman Financial, located in Peabody, Massachusetts. Our new office located at 41 Cross Street, which isn't, frankly, that new anymore. It's almost a year old. We are located atop the Alto Forno Restaurante, located on 41 Cross Street, just across the street from the North Shore Mall. Our office there up on the second floor opens regular business hours, 8:30 to 5. At nighttime, Alto Forno opens up, which is the restaurant downstairs. If you're in the neighborhood during the day, come by, swing by, say hello. If you want to schedule a free initial consultation to meet with us, to really sit down and go over your financial situation, get your financial house in order, give our office a call, 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. If you'd like to sign up for our free weekly newsletter called Planning Pointers, we've been doing this since March of 2009. 600 plus consecutive issues going out to listeners like you. 7,000 subscribers. Still blows me away that we send out that many. Go to my website, friedmanfinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com. Go to the bottom of any page in my website. You'll have an opportunity to sign up for Planning Pointers. Just put your name in there. Let us know how you heard about us. There's an opportunity for you to write comments if you want. Let us know what you think of the radio show. Perhaps you have a question that you'd like me to answer on the show. Perhaps, like I mentioned in the first segment of my show, perhaps you'd like to be a guest blogger. Maybe you've got a financial topic or a financial lesson or a financial story that you'd like to share with listeners. I'd be happy to do that for you. You write the story, as long as it's appropriate for the newsletter. We'll share it up there. We'll put it in the newsletter. You'll get attached to my blogs that appear on my website. Love to talk to you about that. Maybe you've had an experience where you've retired and retirement has become a little bit different from what you imagined. Or you're nervous about retirement and you're thinking to yourself, here are the five things that are keeping me up at night. Write about them. I'd love to hear those stories. I'd love to share that and give you the opportunity to offer advice, offer your feelings, offer your thoughts through my newsletter. One way to get there, of course, to reach me is, of course, go to the website, friedmanfinancial.com. Go to the bottom of any page, sign up for the newsletter, but there's also that comments box. You can throw it in there. But the other thing you can do is drop me an email directly. Here's my personal email, Mark, M-A-R-C. That's not M-A-R-K, M-A-R-C. I was blessed with having a C at the end of my name, I guess. That's what my parents chose. At friedmanfinancial.com. That's Friedman. You know it. Two E's and a D. Financial.com. So I was in Shaw's a couple weeks ago, actually, just at the salad bar, and two women walk by me. They go, hey, it's two E's and a D. So I guess that's what I'm now known as, the two E's and a D guy. So nice to see you all. When we last left you, we were talking about our review process and how important the relationship that you have with your financial advisor is built upon the commitment to reviewing everything in your financial life, not just your investment account. It's important. So our review process, I talked about the importance of us really sending you out an updated net worth statement sending that out to you, giving you an opportunity to say, hey, have any changes happened in my net worth since we last met? Now, of course, the information and stuff that we're managing for you, the investments that we're managing, we're going to bring that stuff up to date. But what's your bank account look like? What does the 401k plan look like since we last met? Do you have a new job? Do you have insurance benefits? Do you have what's the value of your house? Has that changed? All of those things, I want you to bring that up to date so that when we're building up your plan, when we're continuing to direct it towards the goals that you wanted to achieve, do we consider everything? And that leads us to the second point, of course, is making sure that we visit your financial goals, revisiting the goals to make sure that they're still in place. I'm also going to share your progress. How have you done? What's changed? Has your net worth changed? Has your investment accounts changed? We'll talk about that. The other thing that we offer is other related investment advice. You may have a 401k plan at work. Am I managing your 401k for you? Well, I really can't, but I can give you some advice on which investments to hold within your 401k. You give me the menu of choices that you have available, and based upon my understanding of your overall goals and objectives of your financial situation, I will help you select an allocation that makes sense for you. That's all part of the relationship that we have with you. The other thing we're going to do is we're going to re-examine your spending needs in retirement. Now, let's say you've retired and you said, Mark, I plan to spend around $6,000 a month in retirement. You'll get some money coming from Social Security. Perhaps you're taking money from your IRAs or from your investment account. Are you taking them from the right place? Are you having enough money to cover your expenses? Has your bank account remained relatively level over the course of the year, or has it grown or gone down? That's usually the best indicator for us to determine whether you're spending within the scope of what you said you were going to spend. And I will tell you this, if I asked you right now, what was the value of your bank account last year? You probably don't know. Who would know? Why would you care? It's what my bank account is worth today. But if I knew what your bank account was worth a year ago, and I would have that because we were doing the review and updating your net worth statement, if I saw that your bank account was different from where it is today, now we can have a conversation. What might have led to the bank account being different? If it's off a few thousand dollars, I'm not going to worry too much about it. But if there's a difference of $20,000, $30,000, $50,000, $100,000, that's significant. I mean, $100,000 is a lot of money to be different in your bank account. But I'm just telling you, if it's different, if it's that different, we know we have a spending issue to deal with. Maybe you're not spending enough. Maybe you're spending too much. We look at that. That's part of what we do. And part of that also is the idea of reviewing your last year's tax return. When I know what you're spending, when we know the dividends, the interest, when we know what you're taking from your investment account, when we know the Social Security, the pension, the other sources of income that you're collecting, we can give you some guidance on the right withholdings to your pay. Look, no one likes to pay a large amount of taxes. And with the new tax package that has been put into place, there is going to be a lot of surprises come April of what you may have to owe or the refund you may be getting back. But if you were a person that tended to itemize a lot or took advantage of large mortgage interest deductions, took advantage of large charitable contributions, took advantage of large deductions on your tax return, you may not be able to do that this year. That's going to be taken away. So let's say you had, and I'm pulling a number out here, let's say you had an itemized deductions last year of $40,000. Now, how do I come up with that? I mean, there's mortgage interest, there's property tax, charitable contributions. There's maybe investment advisory fees that you were able to deduct, attorney's fees, accounting fees, all that kind of stuff. If you were at $45,000, you may only be at $26,000 this year or $24,000. That's a difference. That means you owe more taxes. If you used to deduct your investment management fees, if you used to deduct attorney's fees, accounting fees, all of those subscription fees that you could deduct, if they exceeded 2% of your adjusted gross income, guess what? You can't anymore. It has been removed from the tax code. It's important that you explore your tax return year after year after year. If you need to sell securities to create cash and there's capital gains, or you perhaps have capital losses on the books, you need to be making sure that you're doing that intelligently. During our review process, we go over that with you. A couple other things during our review process. We're always going to be faced periodically with major financial decisions. Maybe it's buying a piece of property. Maybe it's maybe it's paying for a wedding. Maybe it's replacing the roof on your house. Maybe it's buying a new car. Maybe it's paying for a college education. How are you going to pay for those things? Where are you going to draw from that? When it's time to make those decisions, we can oftentimes get very, very emotional around those decisions. What we try to do is help you make rational decisions around some things that can be very emotional. And how do we do that? We do that by looking at the big picture, removing ourselves from your personal emotions from it, and trying to guide you. Now, understand, the correct financial decision versus the right decision can be two totally different things. And oftentimes, the financial decision, the financial right calculation, isn't necessarily the one to choose. But you got to figure out what works best for you. A couple other things that we'll do, we'll make additional recommendations if needed on your portfolio. Maybe there's some changes that need to be made within your portfolio. That's important. But more than anything else, and what you're going to get from a face-to-face client review process is a personal review. I'm going to see your eyes. You're going to see my eyes. I'm going to see how you react. You're going to see how I react. I'm going to listen intently. We're going to take notes. We're going to recapture it. And after the review is all done, you're going to get a recap of what we did. We're going to capture it in our contact management system to make sure that we understand, that we remember what it is that we talked about. That makes it personal. That makes it real. That gives you value for the fee that you pay each and every time you visit with your financial advisor. All right, we're up against the clock. We got to get out of here. But I also want to remind you about a few things. We put out a free weekly newsletter. It is called Planning Pointer. It's actually with a plural. Planning Pointers. It comes out every Friday at 10:30 in the morning. It lands directly into your inbox. And it comes to more than 7,500 subscribers. How do you get it? You go to my website, FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com. Go to the bottom of every page or any page you could choose of my website. Put in your name, put in your email address. Let us know what you think of the show. You can or can't. You don't have to write anything in the comment section, but I'd love to hear from you. Put something in there. That'd be great. If you have a question that you'd like me to address on the show, if you have a blog that you'd like to write about in our newsletter, if you got a complaint about what I said on the show, put it all in there. I don't care. I love to hear from you. You want to make it even more personal? Send me a direct email. My email address is Mark, M-A-R-C, at FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Mark, M-A-R-C, at Friedman. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com. Send me an email. You can put whatever you want in there. And of course, if now is the time for you to get serious about getting your financial planning and your investment management, your overall financial house in order, I'd love to meet with you for a free initial consultation. We're scheduling them right now all throughout the rest of the year. Give my office a call, 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. We will send you an information kit. We can send it electronically. We can send it in the mail. Get you ready for a free initial consultation. You'll come in. Yes, you'll meet with me. I don't pawn you off into somebody else in the office. Actually, there's really no one else to pawn you off to. It's Marion and I, my business partner Marion, who you've heard here on the radio, and me. We are the financial planners. I have a support staff who really supports us. But when it comes time to talking about your personal financial life, know that you're meeting with us and with us only. And that's going to do it for me today. I've got to get out of here. We've got Wicked Bites. It's been actually really popular. It's been nice. Remember the old Pat Whitley show? Well, this is Pat Whitley's son, I believe, that's doing this, talking about some local restaurants in the area. We all like to eat out, hang around, listen, check into this show. And also, my condolences to the Parent family. I learned of Paul Parent's passing. I know Paul used to do the lead into my show, and we're going to miss him here on this radio show as well. So my condolences to the family. That's going to do it for us today. My name is Mark Friedman. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
Thanks for tuning into Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial. During the show, specific investments may have been discussed. These discussions are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations. Please consult a certified financial planner, tax professional, or attorney to determine what is appropriate for you. Consider your investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of an investment company before investing. That's because investing involves risk, including a loss of principal. A prospectus contains this and other information about mutual funds, variable annuities, and variable annuity subaccounts. Prospectuses should be read carefully before making an investment. Securities are offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. Investment and financial planning advice is offered through Mark's firm, Friedman Financial, which is a registered investment advisor and a separate entity from LPL. Thanks again for tuning in. See you next Sunday at 8 a.m.
The prior show was a paid program that does not express the views, opinions, or beliefs of North Shore 104.9, the station management, its employees, or staff.